This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Winning Chris, 4:04 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Seattle. Scraby here, and if you're with us last segment, Scraby messed up royally.
I did.
So because of that, we got to get right to today's version of Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And for my punishment, Chris, I will read the prize today. It's a long one. You will be qualified for a chance to win a grand prize, a two-night stay at Wynn or Encore Las Vegas, and two tickets to see Awakening. Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at Wynn Las Vegas, dazzles audiences with soaring aerialists, bounding acrobats, high-energy choreography, and comedic moments. At the heart of this compelling story, a hero must confront the forces of light and darkness in a quest to save the world. A mythic adventure unfolds set amid the most technologically immersive theater ever designed. Tickets are on sale now at Awakening.com. All right.
Very good.
Thank you.
I think you should have to read that for a week.
I'm willing to take the punishment because that's how bad I feel at the moment.
Right.
When things go cattywampus, I take it home with me.
It did a little crazy there, but the listeners love it.
We made it.
They love it.
The rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before the first question. You will get that for free. And Chris versus the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. All right, let's get going. And we're going to start with, Benoit. Hello, Benoit.
Hello.
Are you ready to play?
I'm all ready.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Who is the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts?
Oh, yeah, that's Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson is correct.
He's on my fantasy team.
Me too. I love Anthony Richardson. I think he's going to be a good quarterback for years to come.
He's a good fantasy quarterback at this point. Whether he's ever a good quarterback is still in question. He's been a little under 500 so far, but he's got some skills.
He's got some skills.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Question number two. From 2014 to 2019, Mookie Betts' 65 home runs at Fenway Park led all players. Since Mookie has left the Red Sox, who's hit the most home runs?
What year did he leave?
2019.
He said, does it have to be at Fenway?
Sorry, say that one more time.
Who's hit the most home runs at Fenway Park since he left?
Correct. Yes.
At Fenway.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge.
He's going with an opponent.
He does hit a lot of home runs. He does. Incorrect.
Yeah, I got to believe this is a Red Sox player, and the one I can think of in the recent years who's hit the most home runs is Devers. So I'll go with him, but just a guess.
Sorry about that.
Benoit, yeah.
I thought you might go Jamie Martinez.
I almost said Gail Devers, but Devers, she was a great sprinter from Sweetwater High who went to the Olympics way back in the day. So I always think of her when I see Rafael Devers' name, spelled the same.
All right. Let's go to Juan. Hello, Juan.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not too much. Here we go.
Good luck to you.
Question number one. How many wins do the Padres have right now?
Ooh, that's a difficult number one, I think. We talked about
82?
It earlier.
82 is correct.
Very good one.
I was going to say.
No, we talked about it, but I mean, not everybody looks at the standings every morning.
I don't.
But 82 is correct.
All right, here we go, Juan. Question number two. What are the two national sports of Canada? The Great North, as Chris called it earlier.
Two national sports of Canada.
I'll say hockey and curling.
Hockey and curling. Stay there.
Damn it. Well, I know one's lacrosse. I don't know if the other one's curling or hockey. I'll say...
Oh, jeez.
Going to be so upset. Say curling and lacrosse.
Curling and lacrosse.
Yes.
You should have stuck with hockey. It was hockey and lacrosse.
Good for you, Juan. All right,
Juan. Here we go. Question number three.
For the win.
You get this right or Chris gets it wrong and you're qualified for Las Vegas.
Sometimes I confuse myself.
Save that clip.
Yeah.
All right. In NFL history, what two players have the most NFL MVP awards? Basically, first and second. Who's first and second in the NFL MVP history?
Winning MVP
awards. Winning multiple MVP awards.
Okay.
I'll say Tom Brady.
Okay.
And I'll go with Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Peyton
Manning and Brady.
Stay there.
All right. I think that Aaron Rodgers is one of these. He's won four. So I'm going to go with Rodgers as one of my guesses. And surprisingly, because I believe he had a lot of MVP awards, I'm going to say Brett Favre is the other.
I'm stunned. I thought you knew this. I had my I was sitting over the right buzzer.
Who was it?
Thinking you were it was Peyton Manning.
Oh.
And Aaron Rodgers. Stay right there, Juan. Peyton Manning had five.
He did.
And Aaron Rodgers had four.
I didn't know Peyton Manning had five.
Let me go see.
That's really good.
Tom Brady did not win that many.
MVP. Won a Super Bowl stuff. But.
All right,
very good.
Let me see.
Juan, stay on the line, man. Did he hang up? No, he's there.
No, he's there.
All right, you're there. Good job, Juan. You win the Chris vs. the Fans today. A little brain cramp on this end of the phone, but not really. Those were good questions. I took my stab.
Brett Favre
won
three.
I missed. Yeah, Favre won a few. I didn't know Peyton won that many.
I didn't realize this, but in 1997, there were two MVPs, Brett Favre and Barry Sanders.
Okay. They could have tied in the balloting.
Oh, I guess you're
Wouldn't make sense. Everybody votes for
that.
Stuff.
So. Yeah, Peyton Manning has five.
I think what you should look up just for the hilarity of the NFL MVP award, look up 1982 and tell me the name of the MVP award winner that year.
Well, it says on this little chart of mine, the AP winner is Mark Moseley.
Yes. Does it say what position he played?
He's a place kicker.
Kicker! Can you imagine a kicker winning MVP?
No, but Dan Fouts was also honored in this year for PFWA and the Jim Thorpe Trophy.
The point is Dan Fouts was easily the most valuable player in the NFL in 1982. But that year, Mark Moseley made like four or five game-winning field goals in a row. And so they chose him as MVP of the entire league.
That's pretty crazy.
It was a little crazy, I must tell you.
It was really crazy, actually.
Yes. You're talking about a Hall of Famer like Dan Fouts, who's passing for 9,000 yards, and then you're going with a guy who kicked a couple of field goals.
And Dan Fouts never won an MVP,
No,
huh?
Dan Fouts never won an MVP.
So he got...
As a result, basically because Mark Moseley stole it from him.
Yeah, that's pretty
insane. Sorry, Dan, but that's how that turned out. I'm sure Dan knows it.
That's pretty insane, I have to say.
I would think.
Now it's all just... quarterbacks. I mean, they chose a kicker these days. That means that kicker is making 60-yard field goals to win it every week. Because I don't see a kicker ever being selected as the MVP again.
Unless, your guy And the kicker I love Moody. To hate right now, Moody, makes 6 field goals a game for the rest of the season. You know, that'd be 97, well, that'd be 102 field goals. You might have to give the guy some vote or two under those circumstances.
I guess so. Steve Young won it twice? I only remember him winning it once, but he won it twice, I guess.
There you go. All right, trip down memory lane there. Juan is the winner of Chris versus the Fans. More Gwen and Chris is on the way if we check a little traffic first.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris, hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Seattle. That's where the Padres will be playing tonight. Did you know that? It's great. Taking on the Mariners.
Really?
Are you aware of that?
I just figured it out.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Couple of things to get you caught up on. First of all, checking the scoreboard because it's that time of year. Padres could use a little help. They're not getting any. Mets shook off a no-hit bid by rookie Bowden Francis.
This is the scoreboard music.
Thank you. Scored 6 in the 9th. Francisco Lindor's solo homer was the first hit of the game. Led off the 9th inning. Mets went on to beat Toronto 6-2. Arizona crushed Texas 14-4. So we got no help there. And if you're looking for help from the Nationals, they're playing the Braves right now. 1-0 Nationals in the bottom of the 3rd. Maybe we get a little help there, Scrabe. Would take
somewhere,
it.
Please.
Padres made a roster move today. Martin Perez goes to the paternity list. My guess is, since he was scheduled to pitch today originally, Michael King got moved up a day. And I would think Dylan Cease will get moved up to pitch Friday night when the Padres play in San Francisco. But Mike Shildt will square all of that away in his pregame presser.
Yes.
Also, Luis Campusano sent to the minor leagues today. Brought up outfielder Brandon Lockridge. Thought we'd find out a little bit about this guy, Scrabe.
Yes, please.
27 years old. He's was drafted in 2018. So he's been around a while in the minors. He was picked by the New York Yankees in the 5th round that year. And I'd have to look a bunch of stuff up to see how he got to the Padres and et cetera and all the transactions. But he, in 2024, in the minor leagues. 2 home runs, 45 RBIs.
Really?
So there you go. He's had 340 at-bats this year. Hit 306. Trying to see if he steals a base. 46 steals.
There you go. That's why he's on the team.
There's your guy.
He's the Bryce Johnson.
He might. Yeah, he's going to be your pinch runner
guy.
You know, after Tyler Wade got picked off the other day. Maybe they said, hey, we better get Brandon Lockridge in to run for us.
I always think, like, how do they decide that he's the guy this time, you know?
He was at El Paso for the last 32 games. And for El Paso, 2 home runs, hit 325, 12 stolen bases.
All right, so he's not, he's
so there's
doing
your guy,
well.
Brandon Lockridge. Well. Of his, let's see, he had 40 hits. 32 of them were singles. Had 6 doubles and 2 homers.
I don't think we're looking for a power guy out of
him. We're not looking for Luis Arraez, you know, reincarnated.
Yeah, we're looking. He seems like he's the pinch runner.
There's your guy. Brandon Lockridge comes up. Campusano sent packing.
Do we think we see him back on the team?
Before the end of this year?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
There's not a lot of time. There's like 2.5 weeks.
True.
Unless he goes down to El Paso and hits like 12 homers the next week.
Even
can't
then.
Imagine they're going to like change their mind and bring him right back up and get rid of Diaz.
I mean, fans have been calling for this move for a long time. So
well,
if
got
you're
it.
Out there
Good
and you
them.
Were one of those people, you must be happy.
Yeah,
today.
You know, there's people don't like Campusano.
I don't like it because I would much rather Campusano be good. So
yeah, I never understand rooting against a guy on my team. Seems like it's kind of a silly thing to do.
All the Xander haters are...
A lot of people do that.
Are gone. The Manny haters can't
talk right now. A lot of people root against guys on their own team. I don't get it.
People wanted to trade Fernando.
Well, we know that the reason the Padres have lost 3 of their 5 last games is because
Fernando's
returned.
In the lineup.
Yes. Padres always play bad when Fernando's not, you know, on the roster. There are people that will try to make that argument. They do make the argument. It's not even that they try. They make it.
Well,
when he's here, we lose. When he's not here, we win.
I mean, I will give.
Don't give.
The article.
Don't give.
The argument is not true.
The argument
but
is
the
just,
numbers are supporting it.
It's complete. Just and it's an the ironic. There's just no way. Alanis Morissette said, "You know,
isn't it
sometimes
ironic?
It rains on your wedding day."
Yeah,
it's ironic.
A little too.
Yeah.
Ironic.
I mean, you're gonna honestly okay. Everybody who argues that the Padres are better off without Fernando Tatis, get up, look yourself in the mirror for a moment. Unless you're driving, and even if you're driving, you can glance into the rear view.
But then put your eyes
and then
back
put
on
your
the
eyes back on the road. But ask yourself this question while you're glancing at yourself: would I rather have Bryce Johnson starting in right field tonight?
Some people would say yes.
There are not. There are not anybody would say that.
You know, when I see Fernando hit 3-run home runs like he did last night, and then also make a good defensive play by throwing out, who was it, Jorge Polanco at second base?
That was a hell of a good play.
Two game-changing plays right
Polanco
there.
Polanco couldn't believe it. I mean, he thought, you know, he was clear for a double on that
did
one.
Did he not have the scouting report that Fernando has a good arm?
It's not the good arm. It was the position he was in. He didn't, like, get to the ball and set. He scooped it up and then just kind of threw it on the run. You're not supposed to be able to do that from right center field unless you're extraordinarily talented.
Like Fernando is.
You got it. All right, let's take a break a little early here. Give us some time for the Big Five, which is jam-packed full of stuff. It's coming up next on Gwen and Chris. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Got a good question coming up in the Big Five from Strabe today. Manny Machado last night made some history, hit the 164th Padre home run to break the club record. Strabe asked Tony and I if Manny Machado has worked his way all the way up to the Mount Rushmore of Padres. Think it's kind of interesting. Let's find out what we thought about it and other stuff in the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one,
the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, guys, I think it's only proper if we started the Big Five today.
Number five.
With this.
Fires, man. He swings. Hits it in the air to center field and deep. Rodriguez is back. He will watch. It's going to go. Home run history for Manny Machado. His 164th in a Padre uniform. Now the most prolific home run hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres.
Really great call from Jesse Agler there, and really fun moment for Padres fans and everyone.
A great job of laying out by the color analyst.
True.
Did you consciously step on that call one bit? That is really well done, people. Really well done, as we've heard in the past.
Yes.
Cincinnati Bengals guy would have been losing his mind on that shot.
Not this past Sunday.
Yeah, no, man. You can't step on that call.
No, beautiful.
You got to let Jess do his thing and then let that breathe a little bit.
That was well done. Very everyone. Fun moment in Padre history. And my question to you guys is very simple. Chris, is Manny Machado already on the Mount Rushmore of Padres?
I think that's a very good question.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know that I would put him there quite yet. And here's why. I'm going to say it like this. Nate Colbert wasn't on it necessarily, even though he was the home run record holder. Obviously, Tony's dad is there. I think Dave Winfield has to be there. I think Randy Jones, for what he brought. And you know, the four spot might be a little more up for grabs. Ken Caminiti was a shooting star for a moment. You know, there were some other Cy Young Award winners in there. Jake Peavy was amazing. You know, but Manny's starting to get close. And you know what? Maybe I might start sharpening up the chisel a little bit. Ooh. You know, I mean, this
Chris
guy
is going to chisel his face out.
Well, yeah. You know, look, we have come to, you know, finally appreciate him around here. We talked about yesterday whether he'd get any MVP votes, and I don't think people will notice. But, you know, he tells us every year, Tony, to just relax. It's going to be there. 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, 270. I did not believe him this year, but I have to eat my complaints just along with everybody else. He's been so consistently good. And the other thing that you can say, and we don't know where it's all going to end up, in favor of Manny being in that last spot, is he was the guy, you know, Hosmer got him here to a certain extent. But once Manny got here, the Padres got a whole lot more legit in the minds of everybody else, and that's a big deal.
So Eric Hosmer is on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Tony,
is Manny Machado already on the Mount Rushmore of Padres?
Thinking.
Wow.
It's close.
Are you still there?
He's knocking on the door if he's not already.
Yeah. The more I talked about it, the more I started talking him closer
to it.
Yeah,
I mean, because he's been here since 19. It's 24 now. He's going to be here for another, what, 7, they believe, beyond this. I think he is, man. I think he's already on there. I mean, he's passed the homer. He's got the homer crown. He's going to continue to soar. I mean, after next season, he will have been here as long as he was in Baltimore. And so, as a Padre, when he's been healthy, he's had nothing less than 85 RBIs and nothing less than 16 homers. But he's going to keep hitting these numbers every year. We talk about it pretty consistently. 30 to 90, 270. And, you know, he's going to do it again this year. He's going to probably have 100 this year. So I'm going to say he's already on there. And he's only going to have an opportunity, God willing, he stays healthy, to continue to elevate his status as a Padre.
Yeah. Those are Jake Peavy's fingernails trying to hang on as yeah. Tony is slipping him off the end there.
Sorry, Peavy. I think he's already there. I think yeah. he's already there. When you start to also consider the Padres have been now, you know, they've been to the playoff twice since he's been here after from getting there. He's gotten up to an NLCS. He's got a chance to thicken that resume here even more this year. So,
Also, he had a short season with the COVID season, so he could have many more home runs.
Well, the other thing
is... That's why I had to throw that 16 in there, because that came during that COVID season.
And if he does stay here another 5 or 6 years, he's going to put the home run record out where no one's going to get it for a long, long time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so...
All right. Good conversation.
Fair point. Fair question.
Thank you. Kyle Van Noy, one of Chris's old favorite players, now plays for the Baltimore Ravens, and he had some not-so-great things to say about the Kansas City Chiefs training staff. He injured his eye during the NFL opener last Thursday, and on his podcast, which I really love this name, McCoy and Van Noy, which is Gerald McCoy, former Buccaneer, and Kyle Van Noy, he described... he described his experience with the Chiefs medical staff.
They took an entire quarter to get down to talk to me in the locker room, which to me is unacceptable. Because then you start thinking, you know, what if I was trying to go back in the game? What if I was, you know, really, really hurt? I know mine was happened to be moderate, but it still was serious because it's an eye. And, you know, especially there's people that were in there, too. One of the doctors or the friend of the doctor was in there, double cup fisted styrofoam cups, like everything was good. And I just felt like that was unprofessional. I understand how Kansas City, the players, have given that training room an F, because with my experience, I would have probably after that gave them an F too.
So I cut that down too, because it was a longer rant. And I love the doctor with the purple drink in the corner. Like, what is going on over there?
He said double-fisted.
Double-fisted styrofoam cups. It makes me think of one thing. Like, you're drinking codeine syrup or something. Anyway, Tony, you're up first on this one. If you're the Chiefs, how do you handle this?
I mean, if what they should do is they should, you know, address their F ranking from their own players and add this to the mix. So they can get better. I mean, it sounds like there's, although they have done a great job in bringing in incredible talent, they don't necessarily get good scores for taking care of that talent in terms of the medical and all those things. So, I mean, it kind of lines up what we've kind of been privy to, the little bit of inside information we've been privy to, it kind of lines up with it. So, I mean, if I'm the Chiefs, I think you would want to address this and not continue to be looked at in that light. It only really benefits you, but they're having a lot of success despite this. So I don't know that there's going to be a change.
It is kind of wild that they have the worst training staff, but they're the best team year after year. Chris, what did the Chiefs do about this?
Well, yeah, first of all, what you guys are talking about is the report that came out last year.
The players' report
voted the Chiefs as one of the worst, if not the worst, franchises in football.
In regards to everything else,
yes, I think they and the Commanders were at the bottom of the list, and the Chiefs were the Super Bowl champs, and everyone was kind of raising an eye. So obviously, this is some of the stuff they're talking about. Before I get into my final answer, though, I want to address my like of Kyle Van Noy. I rooted for him when he played for the Dolphins.
This is Chris's issue.
However,
he went to BYU, right?
He went to BYU.
But you like him as a Dolphin.
I don't like him at all. I rooted for him when he played for the Dolphins. That ended the day he left the Dolphins. So I'm not a big Kyle Van Noy fan because he's BYU all over. So I just wanted that cleared up.
Oh, man.
But here, he does bring up a fair point in the sense that what if he wanted to get back into the game and needed some medical attention? What if that was Lamar Jackson and the Chiefs' medicals are being slow to get and react? It's obviously keeping Lamar Jackson out of a game longer than maybe he would need to be. I think the National Football League needs to at least put a phone call into the Chiefs and say, what's going on here? Why aren't we not taking care of these opposing players the way your players, I'm assuming for the argument, the way, you know, way your players would get taken care of if they were on the road? So I think it's important that somebody look into this.
Chiefs?
Yeah, no, he definitely
cheaters.
Definitely overlooked that. And then, yeah, it would piss me off if I'm sitting there waiting for the doctor and his friend is down here just double fisting
like,
it
what?
Up down here, just loud talking as I'm in here with my eye feeling like it's about to fall out.
The only thing I can think of though, in defense of the Kansas City doctor. Maybe he's just not a BYU fan either.
Oh, and
in that regard, I give him a pass.
Okay. He's like, hold on, Mr.
Yeah, I got,
Mr.
Yeah,
BYU.
I'm busy over here. I'm busy over here.
Finishing Stranger Things or something.
That's right.
Number three.
Bryce now with 39 doubles on the year. Oh, Castellanos is hit by the pitch, and he is not happy. The benches are going to clear. Harper's already at the mounds. Castellanos has been hit a handful of times this week. Dusty Wathan comes over with Brandon Marsh to move Harper away.
I gotta say, if I'm ever in a street fight, I need Bryce Harper around me at some point in time because he would be a great person to have on my
team.
If
there is a street fight, he will be around one way or the other.
Somewhere.
Yes.
But last night in the Phillies and Rays game, there was a benches clearing incident, as you just heard, and punishments have been handed down. Rays pitcher Edwin Uceda got a 3-game suspension, and Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, got suspended for 1 game. So, Chris, should they have been suspended?
Well, every one of these is a little different, has to be taken, I think, on its own. But watching the highlights that I watched, Harper had just rang a double off the fence, and the Phillies were running away with the game. They were hitting line drives all over the ballpark. I think Trey Turner had just hit a second home run. So, to me, this hit batter was obviously intentional. I don't even think there's an argument that the Rays can make other than that same old mea culpa of, I don't know.
Oh, Uceda said he didn't mean to.
I know what he said, but this one was an obvious one, Tony. You got to be a little more stealth than that. Home run, double, and then cleanup guy gets drilled right in the thigh. At least he didn't go up around the head, so I'll give him that. But I think a suspension was warranted, yes.
Tony, suspension warranted?
Absolutely. Probably should have been more, honestly. Here's a couple thoughts that I had watching this video. Like, my initial thought was, man, Bryce could have cleaned that dude's clock if he really wanted
to. He really could have.
He was running, and at first I interpreted it as, oh, maybe Bryce didn't really want to smoke, right? But then I thought about it, and it was like, well, Bryce is probably the most important player on a team, and I know he knows that. And so then I thought about it in terms of, man, he could have cleaned his clock, and he started thinking about the consequences of if he goes and takes this dude out. It's probably going to be a big suspension. So, you're trying to wrap up the best record in the league. It's probably not ideal for you to get suspended. Plus, you can get hurt, right? I thought that was my first thought. Like, man, Uceda's lucky that he had some sense to him, because Bryce is on second base, and if you watch the video, he starts sprinting, and then he slows down right as he gets to the mound.
Yeah.
It was almost as if he thought that through, like, man,
second base to the mound is about the perfect amount of space build up some steam.
I'm telling you, like, that is, and no one can get to you. Like,
right.
The shortstop's off, the second baseman's off. You see the ball going towards your guy, and you see how it reacts. You could see in real time, if you go back and watch, he kind of thought that through. Because he could have clotheslined him from the back. It would have been the freest shot you would ever get in a baseball melee. But
yeah, good point.
He chose better. But, yeah, I think it should be for more. I mean, Chris is right. These dudes don't know. Seda's having a good year. He's pissed because his ERA going up. They tagging him a little bit, right? And He let his emotions get away from him. And,
I'd like to see managers get more than a game sometimes. I mean, I think that's a slap on the wrist, as you said, Tony. Kevin Cash needs to have a little better control of the squad.
I want to see the manager and the player. Both of them should get more in this. And here's the other thing, and this goes back to what Merrifield was saying. Like, you know, these pitchers, and this is an American League team, so they wouldn't have had to worry about it. But if it was the old rules, he would have, right? I mean, this would have been a National League park. He would have had to hit. And there was a time where, you know, if a pitcher did that and everybody knew it was wrong, including his teammates, guess what? There was managers that was sending that pitch. Hey, we ain't pitch hitting for you, bro. You going up there, and you're going to have to wear this one. That definitely right. used to happen. But
so that the rest of us don't have to pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's no longer in the game no more. So then you got, if you're going to suspend, you got to suspend that hurts, right? I mean, a dude, getting these docked versus, seven. It might be a little bit different. You have to miss a week of baseball after you punk somebody.
Castellanos could have missed a lot of time had that hit him
right.
in a different
spot. He could have chipped a bone in the mm-hmm. He could have done anything right yeah. there. And it could have cost that team in a major way just because you're in your feelings about, getting smacked around a little bit.
It was a changeup, guys. I mean, it wasn't even that hard to throw.
Whatever. Okay. Changeup at 90, 94. I don't think that's the softest changeup.
It's Tanner Scott's changeup.
Number two. The day that Woods goes out and finally hits a 100-mile-per-hour pitch, which I think has been in the works for 5 years now, the day he does that, I'm going to have you stand up there and take a 94-mile-per-hour pitch in the thigh.
I never...
See how that works.
Is it a changeup?
Doesn't matter. If it's 94, it's not going to feel too good.
Yeah. I can tell you 89 hurts in the thigh, so I know 94
yes,
don't feel any better.
Right. I don't know if I already hit this, but do it again. Now, we're done with the serious topics, and we got two topics that are kind of serious. But Purdue student Zach Spangler has caused a lot of trouble for one Indiana car dealer. Now, I guess Purdue has these things at their home games where if you kick a 40-yard field goal at halftime and you make it, mm-hmm. It's a contest sponsored by the Roarman Automotive Group. You get $250 and a 2-year lease on a car from the dealer for making the field goal.
Wow.
Wasn't nearly as straightforward as it sounds, because Spangler was informed last week by the dealership that his kick came 0.005 seconds after the 30-second time limit expired on the contest.
They wiggled out of it. Wow.
And so the auto group says, and since his foot hit the ball fractions of seconds after the 30-second time limit expired, he wouldn't be getting the car lease. Here is a Roarman Auto Group spokesperson, quote, "Our decision to not award him with the grand prize was not personal, but simply out of the principle and rules based. We're disappointed that Zach was led to believe that he did accomplish the challenge," end quote.
I got so many questions. So many questions. Okay. Is there a clock? Was the clock visible?
Okay, I'll let you in that. Or I'll let you in on that in a second. They ended up caving, the automotive group. Offered Zach either $5,000 cash or a 2-year car lease. He chose the $5,000 cash. They are no longer requiring it to be within 30 seconds since it caused such a big deal. So, Tony, did the car dealer do the wrong thing?
They totally were misleading. They got hit. They didn't think nobody would hit a 40-yard field goal. And then someone did. And they tried to put it. But now, was there a clock going off?
Right. I tried to look for this, but I couldn't really.
I would have to believe that they had to have snuck this, or it would have been a different deal, right?
Yeah.
They,
0.005 seconds, Tony.
Yeah. Get out of here. There ain't even clocks that got the 0.0005. Get out of here.
Was this in an NBA arena or at a.
It was at Purdue University in their football stadium.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I think they did the wrong thing. And clearly they figured that out because they did the right thing.
Local pressure got to them. Chris, did they do the wrong
thing? I have a couple of things on this. First of all, congratulations to Zach Spangler.
Spangler, yeah.
Made a 40-yard field goal mm-hmm. without hurting his kicking muscle.
So we don't know that.
You personally should be impressed by that.
I tried to make a 43-yard field goal. I think I would have made a 40-yard field goal because I came up just one yard short.
All right. Let's not do this.
Yeah, no kidding. Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that is not in the story that obviously happened here. Zach Spangler found out that they were going to take his prize away, and he immediately called my gambling friend, Rocco.
Rocco came in.
They sent Rocco over to the dealership, and he said, "You guys better come straight and give my man his prize." And
he's got a tire iron in his
hand.
That's right.
They figured it out.
Rocco makes an appearance 2 days in a row.
Two
I
days
love
for Rocco.
Yeah. I need Rocco, more Rocco.
We all need a Rocco.
All right, good for Zach Spangler. Number one. Now, Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo revealed last week that she plans to keep the Olympic rings on the Eiffel Tower indefinitely. The proposal sparked outrage, something to its political posturing, but the family of Gustav Eiffel, the engineer who designed the tower in 1889, great-great-granddaughter of Eiffel, said this, quote, "While the rings were celebrated on the Eiffel Tower during the games because the iconic moment was a central figure in the event, the rings were never part of its original design. The family will only allow the rings to remain until the end of this Olympic year." Chris?
Yeah.
Ring or no rings?
I'm bringing the rings down. I am. I think it's fine. I mean, this is a whole... The Eiffel Tower is...
Don't disparage the Eiffel Tower right now.
I was going to say, it's incredibly iconic.
Okay.
I mean, it's the one thing that everybody... You know, focuses in on when
Scrady
you go to.
Wanted you to be all outraged.
No, I thought he was going to be. Down. No, I thought he was going to be like. Well, no. The Eiffel Tower is not that impressive.
I know. I love the Eiffel Tower. I've seen it. I walked under it several times. I think.
Did you ever go up in it?
I did about three quarters of the way, but it was it was so crowded that we finally turned around and
willies
and went down. But no, I mean you can have a lunch up there, the whole thing, but. No, I think the Olympics was part of what happened there in Paris, and I like for instance in L.A., you know, they might have had some design on the Hollywood sign, or they may do it the next time it's in L.A. But I don't think you'd keep it up, you know, for the next 30, 40 years.
That's a good point.
After the Olympics leave, yeah, I can understand people wanting the memory of the Olympics, but. Not forever and ever. So I agree with this. You know, there's going to be other places in the city that, you know, are still iconic and kind of give you back memories, such as the
Arc de Triomphe.
Whatever it is, usually the flame, right? Like at the Coliseum in L.A., right, where they lit the flame. That's been up there since 1932. So that's fine. But no, not the rings.
Tony, rings or no rings?
Well, I mean, the Eiffel Tower is not really that.
It's not that big of a whoop.
No, they should definitely bring them down. I mean, it's meant to be up there for the time being. But yeah, the Eiffel Tower is.
I just have an issue with the great, great, great granddaughter making decisions on what happens with the Eiffel Tower.
Scrape, you want to be mad at everything, dude.
He hates anything familial.
Because it's the great, 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 great granddaughter.
She had zero to do with the Eiffel Tower.
But you actually don't want the Olympic rings to stay up to yourself. So it's just like, you're so confused.
She's making the right call. Whether you like it or not, she's making the right call.
When I wrote the question, I actually thought to myself, I want the rings to stay. But you guys convinced me that they should not stay because Chris's Hollywood sign was a great example.
All right, thank you.
For sure.
All right, game two, Mariners Padres. Chris and I'll get you ready for it next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.